please welcome Kirk Henning.
When I was in elementary school, middle school, I hung out with a group of guys that were considered the cool guys. And they let me hang out with them, even though in their eyes, I think I was just slightly on the other side of cool. I wasn't so uncool that they wouldn't invite me to the party, so to speak. But I think I was uncool enough that I didn't get invited to all the parties. And I always had a sense that there were secrets being told behind my back, that they knew something that I didn't know, and they were talking about things that I didn't know. And I always felt a little bit like an outsider. And I think with them, I was uncool just to the point where I gained a reputation of being naive and innocent and a little bit prudish as well. And I did my part in reinforcing that reputation. One night when I think we were in the latter part of sixth grade, so we were older elementary school kids, or it might have been seventh grade, and a group of the guys got together and with a group of girls, and they played spin the bottle. And I would not cross that line. I could not cross that line. I did not have it within myself to cross that line, nor did another girl who was there, who must have been in the same situation that I was in, the uncool girl. She couldn't cross that line either. And so they all sat around in a circle, and she and I sat outside the circle and watched as the bottle spun and watched as each one of them gave each other long, luxurious, wet kisses. It was one of the most awkward moments in my life that I can think of. Later on in middle school, I reinforced that reputation again. I think it was eighth grade, and I was we were at one of my friend's house. There was two girls, so there was two of my friends and two girls and me. So there was five of us there. And so one of the people there was the outlier, was the odd one out. And I could sense that secrecy and kind of communication passing before me under my radar. And then it was confirmed for me when one of my friends went into a room with one of the girls and they started slowly shutting the door. And as they were shutting the door, I looked in and I saw the girl starting to lift her blouse. And I wasn't even past the spin the bottle stage at that point even yet. I was amazed, shocked. I had no idea that people did this. And it confirmed for me that that reputation probably was well-deserved of being a little naive and innocent. But things changed in high school because in high school, I joined the high school band. And if there's ever confirmation, if there's any doubt before whether I was cool or uncool, joining the high school band was pretty much a guarantee that I was in the uncool crowd. You cannot be in high school band and be considered in the cool crowd. But I had so much fun. It was just so much fun. And we got to travel. We went to Europe. We went back east. We were a really good band. And so I just didn't care. And all my other friends, they kind of dispersed and did their sports thing and their cool thing. And I played baseball, too, for a couple years. And it just was not fun at all. Here's the thing. Within the circle of the high school band, I was cool. I was one of the cool guys. I was a drum major. That made me even cooler. All these kids looking up to me. And I was a drum major for three years. So starting my sophomore year, junior year, senior year. So I had senior girls that were being flirtatious with me. Whenever a new crop of freshmen came in, man, we got first pickings, you know. So I was the cool one, but I didn't know how to be cool. I didn't know the accoutrements of being cool. I didn't know exactly what to do because I was behind. So I overcompensated. I hooked up with another friend in band, and he was slightly dangerous, slightly rebellious, and it was exciting to me because he would do things that I wouldn't think about doing. He loved to drive fast, so he'd come over to my house and tap on the window, and I'd sneak out the window, and then we'd just go driving out across Moore Park, just straight, and he'd go as fast as he could. This is in his parents' van that he took without their permission before he had a driver's license. We would do, you know, pick up girls, and we would just be cool. We just, in our eyes, we were just cool. And then that was early on, and then later on we started drinking. We started having parties, and that made us even cooler because we just, you know, we'd get whatever drinks we could get and drinking wherever we could, and we'd party with the girls and just have so much fun. Well, one night we got a bottle of vodka. And someone brought a can of orange juice concentrate. And we decided to have a party at this house. So there were some of us guys and some of the girls from band. And we went, I remember we went to go make the screwdrivers, and we turned on the kitchen faucet, but no water came out. So we didn't have water to make the screwdrivers with, you know, to reconstitute the orange juice in order to make screwdrivers. Well, the reason why the water wasn't coming out was because the house, my friend's dad was a real estate agent. This was a house he was selling. It was a vacant house. So the water was cut off. But that didn't stop us. We just mixed the vodka with the straight orange juice concentrate. And if you think drinking vodka straight when you're a teenager is bad, try it with just a few tablespoons of orange juice concentrate. It's really bad. But that didn't stop us. It just kept on drinking. I got drunker and drunker, and we started making out and hooping and hollering and having a great time. And then two sheriff's deputies appeared in the doorway. Now, I haven't had too many run-ins with law enforcement, but the ones that I've had, they just seem to appear. It's like one second they're not there, and then all of a sudden they're there. I don't know how they do it. It's magical, and there they were. And so they rounded us all up in one of the bedrooms. They lined us all up. We all were sitting down on the floor, and they started on that end of the line. I was on the other end of the line. They started taking down names, phone numbers, parents' names, so on and so forth. Well, I was so drunk that I felt sick. And there was a bathroom right behind where one of the deputies was standing. And so I just couldn't help it. I just would shoot up, and I went into the bathroom, threw up, and then came back. And then they just kept on going down the line, had to throw up again. Went into the bathroom, threw up, and when I came back out, they were all gone, or they were left. And so I thought, well, great, this is great. I'm going to get away with this somehow. And so I just started walking out the door, and there was a few of them there, but for some reason they didn't notice me. I don't know how they didn't notice me. And I thought, I'm just going to get away with this. They're not going to know who I was or anything. Well, my dad is a partier. He loves to party. He's 91, still parties. And he told me, I was probably 16 at this time, and he told me, I think even a year before, 15 or 16, he said, it's okay if you drink, but just give me a call if you need a ride home. Well, this was a different situation to me. In my drunken, stupid 16-year-old brain, I thought, well, there's officers involved. There's law enforcement involved. And so there's a little twist there that I just don't want to face him with, you know, and he was an ex-cop. And I thought, as well, if I just get going, nobody will ever know that I was ever involved in this little situation in my crazy 16-year-old brain. So I got in my dad's car, who I borrowed, and I started driving home. And I was completely drunk. The focus, my eyes could barely focus. I know I was swaying back and forth. But the amazing thing to me was how, still to this day, that image is vividly etched in my brain. I'll never forget it. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the adrenaline of getting busted. I'm not sure why, but I still remember. And I was drunk enough where I shouldn't have remembered. But I always remember that drive home. It's about 5 miles or so. Somehow I made it home without killing myself, and more importantly, without killing anybody else. And my drinking career lasted about another 5 years. And then after that, I quit everything. Whew. Quit. That was about 36 years ago. So for 36 years, I've been a non-drinker in a drinking world. My family, they all love to drink. We're in a drinking culture. It's part of our fabric. And so now I'm back to being an outsider again a little bit. I'm back to being kind of uncool sometimes in some people's eyes. And you know what? I'm fine with that. I'm completely good with that. That's my story. Thanks.